punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current weather is 78 degrees, winds out of the northeast at 3 miles an hour, humidity's at 52 degrees. Okay, the last week of the July was a bit of a challenge, but the analyst by the Oklahoma Mesonic shows the month wasn't as sweltering hot as we might have thought. State climatologist Gary McManus, I don't even know how to say it. There you go. Thank you. In his Monday morning Mesonet report said July was actually mild for the most part and extreme temperatures were in short supply, which we're not griping here. What made the difference, he explained, was the high humidity. And I think, Lacey, you said that on the show a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago. The statewide average temperature is measured by the Oklahoma Mesonet, finished at 79.5 degrees for the month, 2.4 degrees below normal, and ranked as the 22nd coolest July since records began in 1895, he wrote on Monday. A decade previously, in July 2011, Oklahoma established its highest statewide average monthly temperature at 89.2 degrees. The mark was not only the highest for any Oklahoma calendar, but any calendar month for the state since records began in 1895. So we all remember what happened in 2011 and 2012, because I think a year ago today, it was 113 out here. And Lacey, welcome back from vacation. We missed you last week.
Thank you. It was an awesome week off, but it's good to be back in the swing of things.
I've seen you guys were on the beach quite a bit, and your poor daughter, you had her in clothes and not a swimsuit.
She was very upset with me. Yes, we went out to the beach, and she went swimming, I mean, day in, day out, the entire time we were there. We went to Florida, and one point I thought, okay, let's take a family picture, you know, something that looks, you know, sort of nice, and she wasn't having it. So those pictures are hilarious. They just added to the memory of taking a one-year-old to the beach. Trying to get a fun family picture.
I bet Tyler gets a kick out of the both of you.
So. Oh, he does. He always says, he's like, I just like to watch you two go at it all the time. He just kind of stands back and laughs. She acts just like him is the problem.
I think Tyler's the laid back kind of guy, so I'm pretty sure he just like, okay, you two, I'm watching.
Yeah. That's exactly how he acts. Yeah.
Hey, how about that rain Sunday?
Isn't that nice? And the cold front?
Yeah, speaking of the cold front, I seen some lady on social media questioning you calling that a cold front.
Oh, yeah. I cannot do anything right. There's meteorological definitions for things that happen in the atmosphere that I have to call it. I don't know what else I should call it. But it's a cold front. It's always been a cold front. It'll always be a cold front. And that offended her because it wasn't a cold front because she didn't need to drip her faucet. I was like, okay, well, that's not me hyping the forecast. That's just, it was a cold front. And guess what? It's colder.
Did she cover her plants?
My goodness. I swear. It is not amazing. It feels so good. The low humidity is key, and it makes it feel so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all were in the mid-50s this morning.
Yeah, we were
Colorado
probably
this morning. 53.
We were probably what, the hottest in the state.
Yeah, probably.
for a morning low, we were the hottest. So what all did you guys do on your vacation?
Well, we had this weight loss challenge going with the whole family, and we had all put in money, and we said whoever lost the most weight by percentage before we go on our trip, gets to pick what the family does when we're there with all the money that we put in. So my brother-in-law won, and so we got jet skis one day. We got parasailing. My parents are in their, mid-60s, and they both parasailed, which was wild to see. So we did that, and then we just hung out on the beach. We had four kids under four, and So it was just mass chaos most of the time, wrangling them like wrangling cats.
Well, sounds like you guys had fun down there.
We had a blast. It really was. It was so fun. I never knew how this is my first time being a parent and going to the beach. So there wasn't a single second, and I am not exaggerating when I say that, there was not one second of the 5 days that we were there that I sat on the beach and sat there. It did not happen. No. I was up, running, saving lives the entire time. I did not stop. I was getting sand out of mouth, sand out of ears, keeping them from throwing sand on each other. I got sand thrown in my face. It was just chaos. And then what do you do with the sand? You take these kids and they got to go take a nap. So what do? You got to get every drop of sand off of them and then put the sunscreen back on and take them back and let them waller in the sand again. Beach vacations will never be the same.
No, they're not. Yeah, no. No, I had three kids and no, they're, yeah, you're the peace and quiet of a vacation. Yeah, it's over until at least she graduates high school, because even if you even at 17, you're going to be worried about her, what kind of trouble she's causing now.
So, sure. Yeah. It was a different kind of fun. So instead of being relaxing, it was just an adventure the whole time.
Oh yeah. So,
but it was awesome.
Did you pay attention to the weather while you was down there, or do you just let it go when you go on vacation?
Are you kidding? I look all the time, and there's not a day that goes by that I'm not texting my boss, David Payne. And so we're always talking about what's going on. And so there were storms. I think it was Monday. I don't remember the day now. That's a good thing. Usually I'm so plugged in. I think that means I relax stuff. But there was one of the days there were storms during the week. I think it was Monday, and we were talking about that. On track of the heat. Oh yeah, I'm always looking at weather data. In order to forecast, you've got to look constantly, even when you're off.
Oh yeah. Well, they well, you know, you've heard this a million times. All of you weather people have heard this a million times, especially the ones on TV. You messed that report up. You messed that report up, and we didn't get the 5 inches of snow, and you called for an inch and we got a tenth. Well, your boss, Mr. Payne, he called for 2 tenths mm-hmm. out here this weekend. Well, I got 3.2 at my house. So,
did you?
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, I will let him know.
Yeah.
I will comment on his Facebook page. Better yet, I will tweet him.
Yeah. There,
and I will let him know.
Because everybody was saying, well, so much for Mr. Payne's little forecast, 2 tenths. And I'm like, you're griping because we got more?
And more? They said, that is very common, actually.
And so they actually wasn't griping. They were just making fun of him because he missed the forecast.
Sure.
So anyway, you can't never be right. And no. I understand it's a prediction. I really do. It's just a prediction. And if you can hit it on the nail head, great. If you can't, it is what it is, you know?
I mean, if I could change it, I would. But that's why I love it. That's why I love science. I mean, of all fields. It's just because we're doing the best that we can to understand the unknown. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it exciting. And truth be told, the technology isn't good enough and will probably never be good enough to be able to say, at your house, this will happen at this time. It's never going to be that good. So we're taking the data that we have available to us and taking the climate data that we know for Oklahoma, which is always changing, and, you know, trying to put together the best forecast to make educated decisions for people to do things they got to do, and it does not always go according to plan.
Well, I got a piece of advice from a farmer out here, which is me.
I love advice.
Which is me.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So instead of calling it cold front from now on, just call it a northern.
Yeah.
Call it a northern.
A northern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a blue norther is 100% a term. That has a definition that I can use.
So
that way, I won't ever be wrong.
That way they won't be covering their plants or dripping their faucets. But I had a text in from a lady this morning. I was doing the oil and gas show, taking this guy's place on the oil and gas show, or energy show. And she wants to know, she asked me, and I'm trying to find it right now, and it's right here. Couldn't be that hard to find. Mm-hmm. Hang with me, sorry.
Right. No, I'm sure it's very good.
Yeah. No, it's actually a legitimate question. It's from Brenda, and she says, Jimmy, do you think it's going to be a hard winter? And I'm like, I'm not the one to be asking.
Yeah!
But anyway, so I told her that I would ask you, do you think it's going to be a hard winter? Have you guys looked that far forward yet?
I mean, always looking that far forward. The data will change 100 times between now and winter. And so to sit there and say it's going to be a hard winter, I mean, there's not, I have no idea.
Right.
To be accurate about it. But one thing we always start to look at once we get closer into fall are several of the patterns out over the ocean. The way the patterns are setting up over the northern portions of the continent, the way patterns are setting up even down by the South Pole, we can kind of get an idea of the orientation of the jet stream, at least by fall, and get a better idea. But it's just, we can go back and look at summers that were brutally hot and compare that to the winter. Let's say the summer was super hot, that winter was super cold. Well, the next time it's super hot, it may not be super cold. You can't just make these one-to-one correlations and comparisons or say, our winter February was ridiculous. That means this next winter will be mild. But it doesn't work like that. It changed. There's so many factors, and frankly, there's half the factors I think that we don't even know about yet as to what steers it. So there's no indications right now that the winter is going to be anything like last winter. There's also no indications right now that it's going to be a super mild, dry winter. It's kind of looking average for Oklahoma, if you will.
Well, and then also,
we'll see how that changes.
Yeah, and earlier this year, you know, the prediction was it was going to be a dry summer. Well, that was a myth. So, and it was great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it changed that quick.
Yeah, you're not going to complain about it.
Yeah, it changed that quick.
That's exactly how it works out.
So, well, they...
extended forecast. There's a reason why we have a 9-day forecast and not a 30-day forecast.
You're listening...
There's really no point in doing much more than that.
Well, you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and Lacey Swope's on this, and she is like, she's like Will Rogers, Jim Thorpe. She's a hero of Oklahoma with weather.
Thank you, but absolutely not.
Yeah, no, you are, because you are in our books up here, because you can't run into anybody that doesn't like you. So anyway, even though they're tacky to you sometimes on social media, but you know what? You got broad shoulders and you come right back at them. Like, huh?
I don't get offended. I will say that.
The one the other day you said, huh? And that was it.
Oh, yeah. I get that a lot. I just don't understand what people are saying. A lot of times it makes them think. Because what I've found over the years of having social media is that people will say stuff, and they don't sit there and think they're talking to a person. They don't see the person behind it. They just see, oh, this face on TV, and then here's a website with her face on it. Well, I'm the person behind that. And so if I just write back and say, wait, what? They think, oh, she saw that.
She saw that.
My comment. Yeah. And so I find that sometimes it makes people say, oh, wait. Sometimes it doesn't, but my goal is never to pick a fight, because I'm just not going to do that.
No,
and if
you're,
it's bad enough, I'll just delete it. But
you got Brooke, to worry about anyway.
Oh, my gosh. That's a full time and a half job.
Yeah. Well, they... So just a little bit of update on what this weather is doing to our wildlife out here. I think every mama deer had at least two, and some of them had three babies. So there's plenty of deer running around out here, which they was already.
I have seen almost all twins as well.
Yeah, and the quail are everywhere. There's certain spots that we've been getting reports that they haven't seen any, but with all this vegetation growth, they might not even be seeing them. And
yeah,
so
covered up.
And then I drove down the road going to the house the other day, and there was a turkey hen and seven babies with her, and they were big enough to fly. So the hatch is looking good, even though they backed off on the season or changed the seasons this year. But the wildlife looks good. Horny toes everywhere, and I still got grasshoppers. You still hadn't told me how to get rid of those.
I've got nothing for you. On the grasshopper front. I will say on the turkey front, though, our property that we have in Creek County, I grew up there with turkeys that you wouldn't believe. I didn't even turkey hunt. I think I told you that before, for a long time, because we just had so many turkeys, it wasn't hunting. I mean, it just wasn't. They were everywhere all the time. And then they went away. And for the last several years, we haven't had a turkey one on our place. You go calling, and you can't even hear them in the surrounding area. We have seen I don't even know how many now, several good groups, though, of turkeys over the last couple weeks.
Oh, great.
So whether they're going to be there, stay there, they're resident, I don't know. But just the even fact of seeing them with my own eyes has been amazing.
Yeah, if you just get to see them, you know, we had some quail last year up north was better than down here. And this year, our great county commissioners out here in some of these counties that our North Fork Quail Forever chapter is, they delayed where they could the roadside mowing, and they're just now getting to it. And so now they're going to wait till later in August to do the fence side, if they do it at all. And that's a lot of habitat, just the roadways in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so, we had a gentleman text in last week. But You were on vacation, and he wanted to know what the ARMS program was. And when I sent you that picture this morning, you said you worked there. So you ought to know what's going on there.
If it's the same, and I mean, this was 10-plus years ago, real quick here, let me look at that. It was Atmospheric Radiation Measurement Program. I believe that's the same program.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I, whenever I was a student at OU, they had different, jobs you could get throughout at the National Weather Center, and that was one of them that I applied for. And so what I did was I worked for their research program, and I did data quality checks. So my job was to sit there on my laptop, and what happens is that program, I couldn't tell you where their instruments are now, but essentially what they do is they put in weather instruments of all different varieties. They have, they detect lightning, they look at cloud cover, and then all your usual temperature, pressure, relative humidity, blah, wind, blah, blah, blah. But they have all kinds of cutting-edge technology for measuring the atmosphere, and they have those sites in specific areas. Now, some of it was for military reasons, some of it was for research reasons. I never knew the reasons as to why, but basically I was given instruments in different parts of the world, and my job was to go there on the computer and check out the data that was coming in and make sure it was accurate. So I don't know where that picture was from.
That was from that the one was up there north of, what's the name of that town? Over there by Billings and up in there by Enid. It's one of the only four sites in the world.
And I believe, is it Lamont?
Yeah, Lamont. That's it. Sorry. Yes. That's it.
Yeah, Lamont.
Yep.
So that site was there when I worked there, and I believe I had some instruments there. So they take them, and they do move them sometimes. At one point when I was a student, we had instruments that were in China, and then China stopped letting us get the data back from them. My instruments were in northern Alaska, like Barrow, Alaska, which was so cool as a meteorologist to sit there and look at the data coming in, you know, all these minus readings. And I had some there in Lamont, I know. And then I also had some in, like, the Canary Islands. They had instruments there. And so just taking all of this data in, and then I would say, oh, wait a second, that one has a, 100-degree reading, flag the data, and they would send a tech out to check the instrument. One thing I will say, they had these instruments. What were they called? Oh, I'm not going to be able to remember exactly what it was called. But basically, it's a mirror that faces up at the sky and then a camera over it that takes video. So the whole point is it takes time lapses of the sky all the time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The problem with it is I would have to go in frame by frame and look at those because birds would land on them and they would poop on them. So my job as a student at OU was to alert the tech to go out there and wipe off the lens and clean it off and then he'd go back home. So I'd be able to see him on the camera come out. I thought that was fascinating because in Barrow, Alaska, they're coming out in their Eskimo clothes, you know.
Oh,
they come
yeah.
out and clean off the lens and... So anyway, that's what that site is. I couldn't tell you what the instruments are now. That was a decade ago, what they have and what they're doing. But, yeah, their research program, so they move the instruments across the world.
Well, I guess this gentleman's sister-in-law just went to work there, and she said they was, like, releasing four or five big weather balloons every day up there and some other
cool.
stuff. But anyway, so, and he said it's larger than it was a while back, so they've enlarged it. So,
I'm sure. Technology's come a long way.
Yeah, and when I looked it up on the website, it was one of four places in the world, and I didn't see where the other places was, but that's pretty cool, one of them right here in the middle of Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, and it should be. This is the weather mecca of the world. I mean, we get it all. I mean, the only thing we don't get is full-blown hurricanes, although we've had tropical storms, so.
Yeah, I mean, just so next
we get
to
it. We get it all.
Yeah, get it. Well, Lacey, thanks for being on today. You got a little weather forecast, any rain in it coming up in the next couple weeks?
So tomorrow night into Thursday morning is our next system coming through. It's going to bring cloud cover and showers. Right now, the latest data for totals out in western Oklahoma, even up into northwestern Oklahoma, which have the highest chances, is a trace, maybe a tenth of an inch. So it's not a big rain producer, but it does bring some moisture. After that, rain chances are about 10% for the next 9 days.
You know, that's what your boss said last weekend when we got 3 inches, right?
Well, because I called him and told him, Jimmy.
Oh, you're something. So anyway, well, thanks for being on today, and we missed you last week, but we understand why. And and have a great day.
You guys have a great day. Don't get too hot over these next few days.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Once every 10 years, the state of Texas requires all brands to be re-registered in the counties in which the rancher operates. Next month, the re-registration period begins. Michelle Carlisle, Assistant Director of Law Enforcement, Brand and Inspection Services for the Texas and the Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, says the re-registration period runs from August 31st, 21 through February 28th of 2022. If a brand is not claimed by the deadline, it will be available to the public. All brands, regardless of original registration dates, must be re-registered with the county clerk in the county or counties where the livestock resides to be considered a legal means of ownership. Some counties now offer online brand registration as well. When registering, each brand needs to have a separate form. The cost of the brand registrations vary by county. However, the average cost is $26 per brand. Brands are specific to each county by design and location. Additionally, earmarks, electronic devices, and tattoos must be registered. Texas began keeping brand records as an essential part of identifying stock livestock across the state as early as 1836. But since there isn't any statewide brand registration database, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association cooperates with all 254 counties to provide the Texas brand registration site. Carlisle can't overemphasize the importance of a brand when it comes to theft prevention. When our special rangers interview cattle rustlers, they have admitted to going after unbranded cattle first, she says. Additionally, if branded cattle are stolen or astray, they are more likely to be recovered than unbranded cattle. Once a brand has been registered or re-registered after August 31st, 2021, its active information will be online. Information, visit www.tsrabrands.com or call Michelle Carlisle at 817-916-1771. Michelle Carlisle at 817-916-1771. And I would say it's very important to get your cattle brand registered in Texas. That's a big place, and there's a lot of cattle. And so we don't want to get any stolen. Matter of fact, I read where Texas and Southwestern Ranger, Ben from Elvira in Texas, across the state line here, they're investigating five cows with brands on them being stolen in Beckham County. So it's happening everywhere. So everybody be aware of your cattle. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction head count for Monday was 1,056. Looks like the prices are still creeping up. Here was 12 head from Carnegie of steers, 449 weight, brought $1.91. From Hammond, there was 26 head of steers, 745 pound average, $48.50. Raiden, there was some heifers, or Rocky, I mean, there was 80 heifers from there, average $446 on the weight, brought $170.50 on that weight per 100 weight. That's really good. Cordell, there was 78 head that weighed 735, brought $1.50. Butcher cows were up to $90. Bred cows were up to $1,100. There was no pairs at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Monday. Butcher bulls were up to $1.12. Pretty good. Elk City Livestock Auction from Friday, last Friday, there was 905 head there that sold. Looks like from Sayre on the steers, there was 11 head. Average weight was 555, brought $1.71. Thomas, there was 10 head from there. That average weight steers were 623, brought $1.68. Heifers from Eric, there was 10 there. That brought the average weight was 496, brought $1.42. And from Raiden, there was 15 head there. Weight 673, brought $1.45. Mixing in there. Butcher cows were up to 87 cents or $87 per hundred weight at Elk City. Butcher bulls were $1.06 a pound. Bred cows brought up to 1,410 pounds and pairs, $1,410 for a bred cow, sorry. Pairs were bringing up to $1,500. So, and they got another sale coming up this Friday at Elk City. Call Brandon Hickey for any of your needs on that. And tomorrow, Hobart Stockyards, Rex Fleming, call him for your buying or selling needs tomorrow. It's a big sale tomorrow down there. Well, I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 2nd. 1,056 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 380 brought 204. 10 at 643 brought 171.50. 4 at 738 brought 160. 26 at 745 brought 148.50. 7 at 1123 brought 125. 5 head of heifers at 356 brought 163. 3 at 513 brought 139. 17 at 621 brought 153.50. 4 at 703 brought 149.50. 10 at 776 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 40 to 90, bred cows 850 to 1100, butcher bulls 90 to 112. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. I'm streaming live on Facebook if you want to look at my mug for a minute. Also, we are on the radio live, if you don't notice that. But if you can't get us on the radio and you're out of the area, KECOFM.com. Get on there and you can find all my previous shows. And then on Paragon Communications app on your phone, you can download it. And if you got good service, you can listen to the show on it. And we're having a good time so far on the show. We got some good stuff coming up in the next week or two. Really interesting gentleman tomorrow from Jackson County Conservation, and he's going to be giving us the ins and outs on that water district down there, also on top of some of his programs or projects that are working on. Well, I want to read a deal to you. Benefits of rotational grazing. There is a quote in the 1922 USDA Yearbook of Agriculture that I like to refer to. Paul Beck from Oklahoma State University said, "The cheapest of all feed is pasture because it furnishes a balanced ration at a low cost and the cow does her own harvesting. But in comparatively fewer cases is the fullest possible use made of pasture. There's currently a lot of interest in improved grazing management. There's nothing new, as the quote above indicates, and has certainly been the case for the last 30 years that I've been involved in grazing management. Rotational provides plants within pastures rest from the repeated defoliation by grazers by separating the entire pasture unit into the several padlocks. Padlocks are grazed in turn, and livestock are moved onto the next padlock, and grazing is prohibited on the most recent paddock. Sorry about that. Until the next grazing event in the cycle. These systems can be as simple with weekly rotations or complex with daily rotations. My preference is to have at least 4 paddocks with 7-day grazing event and 21-day rest for each grazing cycle to get many benefits from the rotational grazing, but I've worked with producers that have 30 paddocks and rotate large herds over 200 cows daily. That's a lot of work. Cattle grazing a single pasture at the moderate stocking rate have the advantage of being able to select their diet from every plant from the entire grazing area. This can lead to improved performances because diet quality protein and limits to their diet selection. When we split pastures into multiple paddocks, we selectively amplify performance. That is to wait until the desired plants in the continuous grazed pastures are overutilized and die out at the stand. Recent research was conducted looking at the impact of grazing management on stand counts of alfalfa interseeded into Bermuda grass. And after 3 years, alfalfa was 25% of the stand in rotationally grazed pasture, but only 10% in continuous pastures. It is often said that the continuous grazing can lead to pastures that are overgrazed to be underutilized. Continuous grazing leads to more poor utilization of forage, fertilization, and land resources. Estimated utilization of forage and continuous grazing is 25 to 35%. Rotational grazing increases grazing efficiency to 65% in well-managed controlled grazing rotations. This is why it's often said that stocking rates can be doubled with rotation grazing. Another grazing experiment looked at the continuous and rotational grazing of spring calving cows on Bermuda grass. Continued grazed pastures were stocked at a moderate stocking rate, while rotational grazed pastures were stocked at either a moderate or at double the moderate stocking rate. Pregnancy rates were not impacted by the grazing management or the increased stocking rate, but cows lost more weight and body condition with high stocking rates and rotational grazing. Calf weaning weights were greater with continuous grazing and were reduced by 20 pounds in moderately stocked rotational grazed pastures. Doubling the stocking rate with rotational grazing reduced weaning weights by 38 pounds compared to continuous grazing, but it increased total weaning weight per acre by 185%. Additionally, hay requirements were reduced by 60 to 80% with rotational grazing. There are costs associated with rotational grazing, such as fencing, development of water resources, and possibility of reduced animal performance. But there are also many advantages. Increased forage utilization, but with improved retention of desired forage species, potential increased total productivity of the ranch. Reduced drought risk, among many others. But one producer told me his favorite benefit of rotational grazing is that when he goes to check cattle, he only has to look at an eighth of the place, and most of the time the cattle come find him to put them on fresh grass. And that's, and I practice that down at my place. I have four different pastures, and there's 20 head down there, and I rotate them every month. That's what I do there. Starting in April, I rotate them to another place they were just on, and then every 30 days I rotate them until winter gets here in December, and then I put them in the pasture where I want to be, where they're grazing. So that was a pretty good article by Dr. Beck out of Oklahoma State University. Well, we're going to take another break, and it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
What up, what up? Welcome back to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Current temperature right now is 81 degrees. The wind has switched out of the south, or from the north. Now it's out of the southeast at 3 miles an hour. So here comes the heat. Weather forecast is like this. Tonight, widespread haze, mostly clear with a low around 62. East wind 5 to 9 mile an hour. As you guys know, this haze we got out there right now is from the wildfires in Canada, Washington, and Oregon that cold front brought in Sunday morning to us. That's what it's going to be like. The haze should clear out tomorrow with our wind switching out of the south, which it looks like it just did right in the middle of my show, so which is good. It'll get that haze out of there because I am stopped up. I can't even believe I can talk right now. Wednesday, widespread haze, mostly sunny with a high near 89, calm winds out of the south. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 92, light southwest winds increasing 5 to 9 mile an hour. That's nothing. Anyway, Friday, we have sunny and hot with a high near 99. Saturday, high near 100. Sunday, another high near 100. And Monday, sunny and hot with a high near 100 again. According to Lacey while ago on the show, there might be a slight chance of some showers with this forest tomorrow night. So if it is, it is. It's good. I want to thank, we got a new sponsor on our show, and I want to welcome them to the show. And that's the Wheeler General Store out of Wheeler, Texas. Welcome to the show. and I had to take me a drink there to get my throat undry, but they wet down. But welcome, Wheeler General Store. We look forward to helping everything goes well here. Hay prices, I was looking at some hay prices a while ago, and there wasn't a lot of hay movement last week, but it says alfalfa that's been reported is bringing $160. Premium alfalfa is bringing $160 a ton in central Oklahoma. Utility quality hay is bringing anywhere from $100 to $130 a ton for alfalfa that's probably been rained on. Eastern Oklahoma, no trades reported. Western Oklahoma, fair quality large square bales were bringing $100 a ton. And I know some people that's selling it for way more than that. So it's good hay, though. Grass hay, central Oklahoma, Bermuda grass, high supreme quality large bales, 5x6, $60 a bale. Good fair quality, $50 to $55 a bale. Western Oklahoma and eastern Oklahoma, no trades reported on grass hay. Wheat hay, central Oklahoma, $50 to $60 per bale. And I'm going to say, yep, it says per ton, but I'm going to say it's per bale. And western Oklahoma, $70 per bale. So anyway, there looks like there's some hay going, a little bit of hay trading going on, but not much. But I bet winter's getting closer here. People are going to start buying some hay. I know I bought some hay. But if you guys got any hay that you've had tested and you want to get it sold and you want me to announce it here on the Today in Ag show, I will do that. Tomorrow, when the show starts, it's a little late today, but tomorrow when the show starts, if you got some hay that you want to sell, text it in to me. But I don't want to be selling crap on here. So if you had test run on your hay and you want to sell it, just text it in tomorrow at the text line at 580-225-9697. If you text it in now, he's got the back road show coming up, and it'll get lost in the deal. So tomorrow I'm going to start doing that. Every Wednesday I'm going to announce hay for sale if you got some, and then maybe Fridays will start, since everybody's going to be getting antsy wanting to sow some rye and wheat here in 2 or 3 weeks for some winter wheat pasture. If you got some good seed that you want to sell, I'm going to sell some seed for you. But that's it. Well, tomorrow I got Jackson County Conservation District in the NRCS. It's the Oklahoma Conservation District. They'll be on the show tomorrow with me. John will be. He's a great guy, and you don't want to miss this show, because we're going to be talking about the water district down there, the irrigation district, and then also projects he's got going on in his area. It's going to be a real interesting show tomorrow, and I appreciate everybody joining in today, and that's all I got today. So have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. Rural broadband efforts are advancing on multiple fronts as farm state lawmakers in Congress now pushing to close the digital divide. There's a lot of money, $65 billion to be exact, for broadband in the infrastructure bill advancing through the U.S. Senate now, and close to $1 billion in a House-passed USDA spending bill. House Ag Appropriations Chair Sanford Bishop had this to say.
Our bill invests over $907 million, an increase of $115 million above the FY21 enacted level in the expansion of broadband service to provide